Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, let's bring in our Paul Hamilton right now. Sabres Penguins tonight at 7 p.m. down at KeyBank Center. And of course, you can hear that right here on WGR and along the Sabres Radio Network. Paul, good morning. What is happening today with the club? What do they got going on?
Well, we have an optional here, so Lindy will be speaking in a little bit here. But that's not strange. It's an optional. They've had a lot of practice time this week, and since they haven't had a lot of games, unfortunately, they're watching teams just go flying further and further ahead of them, which I kind of said after Saturday's game is, well, they got to sit here and wait till Wednesday to play a game and watch all the teams around them pick up more points and get further and further away. And unfortunately for them, with the exception of maybe this Pittsburgh team, most of the teams have been pulling away. Most of them have been winning.
The only other team in the conference has played less games now than the Sabres, the Tampa Bay Lightning. So they've had to, because the Sabres had those two games in Europe, they obviously at this time of year now, they had to back off on some games with the scheduling, as you allude to. So here we go. All right, so let's get to what happened the other night. Carolina Hurricanes, what was the difference in holding on to a lead in this game, even though when it looked like they weren't going to hold on to a lead?
Yeah, Ted and Sal, it's amazing. I sit here and watch the practice after the Colorado game. Lindy said they had a long, long film session about what he wants. He wants them to be aggressive. Go at the guy with the puck. Don't sit back and let them pass it around and pass it around because they'll find the open man. Make them make a play right away. If they make a play, so be it. But they didn't do that. And sure enough, Carolina scored to make it 3-2 with the goaltender pulled. They went back just the way they did it before. It's like, what is wrong with you guys? What didn't you understand about what I watched the practice? I watched them practice 6-on-5. I know exactly how hard they practiced it. And they didn't do it at all. So Lindy called timeout after the goal. And it's a good thing he did, because he had to remind them how he wanted them to play. Sure enough, they go out and do it. They did it exactly the way Lindy Ruff drew it up. I don't think Carolina set up in the zone after that. Buffalo kept getting the puck out, and they wound up getting the empty net goal. It just astounds me how they just can't perceive what he wants, and he has to waste a timeout to remind them, remember, guys, I want you to go straight at the puck carrier. I want you to go straight at the puck. Rush them. Make them make a play they don't want to make. And it worked. But it's just like, why does he have to call timeout to remind you what you just practiced less than a week ago?
What happened in the third period with no shots on goal? I mean, how do you go a whole period without a shot on goal? I know they had the goal, but how do you go a whole period without a shot on goal?
They had maybe four or five opportunities to get one, and they gave up a great scoring opportunity with a pass, and a couple were blocked. But, yeah, they spent if they had maybe 1 minute in the offensive zone the whole period, I would say that's a lot. They basically stayed in their own end and got hemmed in. It wasn't the whole time they were under siege, but Luukkonen had to make some good saves. What the Sabres did do is block a lot of shots. They blocked 25 shots in that game. So they did block shots in that mess in the third period. The shots, I mean, if you look at it, they only gave up 8 shots. So it wasn't like the shots were 20-0. They were 8-0. But they just weren't able to get going and get any offensive charge going. And then, as I said, with about, I think it was 3:33 when they pulled the goaltender to make it 6-on-5 and they scored. And they did get one goal in the third period. It was a 3-0 game. And they did get one goal in the third period. Lukanen was screened. Two Sabres screened him. So it wasn't his fault. And then they get that one with the 6-on-5. And if Lindy Ruff didn't have a timeout, I guarantee you Carolina would have tied the game because the Sabres just weren't getting it.
The Penguins come to town. Tristan Jarry goes on waivers. He started more games than any other goaltender for them this season. He goes unclaimed. Any surprise there?
No, because really it was the game against the Sabres early in the season when it was a 6-5 Pittsburgh overtime win, and that kind of flushed his season down the toilet. After that game, he didn't play again until November 15th. So he kind of went out of favor in that game. He played 11 minutes and 33 seconds and gave up 3 goals on 5 shots. And they just weren't happy. He played opening night and gave up 6 goals. So they just weren't happy with him. So, no, that wasn't a surprise. It may be a surprise that he started the season and after a few hiccups sat the bench. But once that happened, no, it wouldn't be a surprise.
All right, Paul, what are we expecting for the Sabres tonight? I'm guessing UPL will be back in goal after a couple days off here.
Yeah, they gave him the day off in practice yesterday after a 35-save performance and a very good game in the win. So, yeah, I would expect he would be in goal. And then, you know, you don't have to worry about it till Monday. You know, you play in Seattle on Monday. So it's going to be a back-to-back, so Reimer will play one of those games. So they probably make sure the trip and all that. If they might give Lukanen the choice, you want to play the first game or the second game. But I think we will see both goaltenders as they start the West Coast trip on Monday and Tuesday.
All right, Paul, I know you're going to hear from Lindy shortly, so we'll let you get back to work. Thanks a lot for joining us for a short time today.
No problem. Thanks. It was late, but we didn't find out it was optional till 25 after.
No problem. You got it, buddy. I'll let you go do your thing. We got some calls to take. Thanks, bud.
Take care.
All right, have a good weekend. That is Paul Hamilton, and of course, he is brought to you by Equitable Advisors, planning for your futures about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. Be your guide. And by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this. Let's get back to your phone calls. Theo in Canada on the Bills and Ravens this weekend. What's up, Theo?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Big Sal, nice talking to you again, brother. Big T from Canada. Again, before anything, thank you for the content you give us. You're the man. I'm just going to change a little bit of the direction of the conversation.
Yeah.
My dad always taught us, you know, the most reliable way to predict the future is to create it. So I know there's some negative dialect, and I respect everybody. I'll say this. I'm so excited to be there on Sunday with my family. It's a culture that, you know, the blue, white, and red the Bills create. I love USA because of the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo is just going to annihilate them. It's in my mind. This is our year. I love you all. Let's go, Buffalo. Clean sweep. And let's bring it home, baby. The jewels are coming to Buffalo. That Lombardi Trophy, I will see it as a diehard fan from 1987 in Buffalo. I guarantee it. Let's go, Buffalo. Sal, love you, man.
Thanks, Theo. I appreciate you. Interesting time to become a fan. 1987, the strike season. The strike year. They played a couple games with replacement players. Three games. Missed a year. And then the Bills, second year of Jim Kelly, right? They don't even have Thurman yet. And then they trade for Cornelius Bennett that year. Interesting year to become a fan. Very good. Thank you, Theo. Appreciate you up there in Canada. All the way out to California. Let's go to John. Before I do that, John, our thoughts with everybody out there. How are you and your family? I don't know where you're located, but hopefully everything's okay with you.
Hey, Sal. Thank you so much. We are about 65 miles south of Los Angeles, Southern Orange County in San Clemente. So we're out. Well out of harm's way, but, you know, we do have some friends up in that area, and it's just devastating and truly heartbreaking, so appreciate the thoughts.
You got it, John. Be safe, buddy. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thank you, Sal. Confidence level, I've got the Bills 31-20 for the following reasons. Playing at home, you know, we've earned the right to play at home with a better record this season. You know, the wins at Detroit, the wins against Kansas City, those matter.
Yep.
And I'm not sure when the Ravens became a combination of the 85 Bears and the greatest show on turf. I think the hype train has been a bit too much lately. I think the crowd and the cold weather matters. I just think we'll come into this game with an edge. I think all the Pro Bowl snubs and, you know, another potential MVP snub for Allen, I think it weighs on these players. I think it's going to matter. I really look the offensive line to come out and just, I think they're going to make a statement and control things. And overall, I mean, I don't think the Ravens defense can stop our offense. I think there's just between Josh, the running game, and, I mean, who do they cover? I just think there's too many options for us. And then I'll wrap up with a question to you, Sal. My one concern is the read option. Now, Pittsburgh got destroyed last week by the read option, but it seemed like they'd never faced it before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure the first matchup, if Baltimore ran it all against us, or what do you think about that as a potential pitfall for us on defense?
It's all about, we've talked to players, it's all about discipline and understanding what your keys are when that ball goes into the belly, and you just can't, you know, you can't try to play it too fast. You have to understand what's happening. I'm not going to say you have to go slow, but you have to make sure you process it, right? And understand what you're seeing. So it's a general way of saying it, but they have keys. One guy goes to the quarterback, one guy goes to the running back, right? You have to make sure you do that. Make sure where you are where you're supposed to be, and then however they want to do it, if he pulls it out and he runs, you should have somebody on him. If he gives it to Derrick Henry, you should have somebody on him. So it's really just disciplined fundamental football. It's way harder to execute than me saying it, but that's really what it comes down to, John. They prepare for it all week, and you just have to stay true to your keys and not get caught up in it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, great. It's just, we ran it in high school and in Pittsburgh last week. It was just, I don't know, man. It's like they didn't respect Lamar at all.
I get it. Yeah, and no doubt about it, John. Thanks a lot for the phone call. To his point on the legend of the Ravens growing this week, I love Bulldog's tweet. Check out Bulldog WGR on Twitter. X, he said, pretty sure that by the time 6:30 Sunday rolls around, the Ravens O-linemen are all going to be 400 pounds and Derrick Henry's going to be 7 feet tall and run a 4.040-yard dash. Pretty good by Bulldog. Yeah, that goes into exactly what he's saying. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. And when we do, a little bit later, we'll have Sean McDermott. More of your phone calls before that here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.